にうずくまる私に彼氏ができないわけは理想の高さと夢にがちな恋愛に憧れてるからかな
Trying not to. Let's start off in Samoa. Not U.S. Samoa. Samoa is experiencing a bloodless coup. The Pacific's most stable democracy is in trouble. Samoa has long been touted.
Vows are spoken to be broken. Feelings are intense. Words are trivial.
Oh, we've made it to the roof. I'm heading to my location, and then we'll start the news.
In my arms, words are very unnecessary. They can only do harm.
UTC, and that means it's time for That's News to Me. I'm your host, DJ Marcus. Let's see what's happening in the world today.
Oh, oh boy, now we're cooking. It is 1904 UTC on a beautiful April 4th, 2023. 4423 or 2344, however you'd prefer to organize your numbers. It's all coming up Millhouse today. It's bright and windy on the roof today. There are two different bottles on the roof. I'm not sure how they get here because very few people are hanging out up here. There's also a large collection of oak pollen. Like the little strands that fall off of the live oak trees. So, I don't know. It's just one of those things. The power of wind currents, my man. My friends. But that's not news. The news is that I have gotten out of the sun. Hooray! And we're in calm. Hanging out in calm. Talking about stuff. That was Depeche Mode. Enjoy the silence. today is 404. Shoutouts to X1 and Publius, Quentin, of course, LCD, new user, thank you for being here, hanging out, and Stug, and I'm sure Rats will make their way out here, and all the people hanging out in comm, including Tobe and Jazzmaz and the whole rest of the Anon Radio family out there, so thank you all for being here. We do have quite a lot of news today. I did save some of the nuclear-powered news that we couldn't get to yesterday, so I'll try and get to that. But to do that, we got to go over here and launch our bookmarks. So just 1 second, and then we'll start on the way we pretty much always start. That's with D&D, our death and destruction. All right, so we go to bookmarks menu, news to me. Today is April 4th. All right, so first up, the United States in as the police for the world, the United States likes to go around and execute people that are bad, in their view. The U.S. military says a senior leader of the jihadist group Islamic State, who is responsible for planning attacks in Europe, has been killed by a strike in Syria. Khalid Eid Ahmad al-Jabouri died in an undisclosed location on Monday, according to U.S. Central Command. No civilians were said to have been killed or injured. First responders said a man was killed in a drone strike on Monday in opposition-held northwestern Syria. The White Helmet Organization tweeted that an unidentified drone fired a missile at the man on the outskirts of the town of Kili in Idlib province. Our teams responded and took the injured person to Bab al-Hawa Hospital, where he died. Pro-opposition Step News cited local sources as identifying the man as Khalid Abdullah al-Khalif and saying that he was likely to have been a senior jihadist from the eastern province of Deir al-Zur. So, IS has not commented on the U.S. announcement, nor have its online supporters discussed it. Khalid al-Jabouri had not been publicly identified in the group's propaganda. Let's see. IS once held 88,000 square kilometers of territory from western Syria to eastern Iraq and imposed a brutal rule on almost 8 million people. It was driven from its last piece of territory in 2019, but the UN warned last month that the threat posed by the group and its affiliates was high and increased in a particular in conflict zones in neighboring countries. So, yeah, so IS still posing a threat and growing along. So that's what's going on with that. The U.S. Taking out a quote-unquote bad guy. Now, in Tunisia, 20 20 Senegalese migrants are still missing. Dakar is seeking to identify the remains of about 20 Senegalese who drowned at the end of March in the sinking of their boat off Tunisia. A Senegalese mission went to Sfax, I'm not sure how to say it, it's S-F-A-X, the starting point in the central eastern Tunisia, in the starting point in central eastern Tunisia of the shipwrecked boat, for a mission to identify the bodies, according to a press release. For the moment, none of the remains recovered by the Tunisian Coast Guard corresponds to our compatriots missing in the shipwreck, which occurred on the night of March 23rd to 24th, off the Mediterranean. Oh, this is neat. Since I'm up so high on the roof, the oncoming police sirens, they're pitched a little different because they're so far away. Their pitch is kind of sounds funny here. Ah, there we go. Now they sound normal. All right. Anyway, you might hear them, you might not. The Senegalese embassy in Tunis. Oh, dear. Well, maybe I guess it is time to go to the eye doctor. Dang. Your boy, your DJ Marcus may have to stop doing news from the roof. The floaters in my eyes are getting bad. All right. Let's see. So, most African migrants arrive in Tunisia to then attempt to immigrate from Europe by sea, with some stretches of Tunisia's coastline being within 150 kilometers of the Italian island of Lampedusa. In mid-March, Dakar had repatriated 76 people from Tunisia and neighboring Libya after words of the Tunisian leader. So, up on the roof. So that's what's going on in Tunisia. But that's just sadness. We need to talk about death. Where are the dead people? Where are the bodies, Marcus? Show me the bodies. Okay. In Nigeria, 12 people have been killed and several others injured or kidnapped in a series of attacks in northeast and central Nigeria. Insecurity is a major concern in Africa's most populous country as new president is to be sworn in next month following an opposition contested election. In the state of Adamawa, northeast section, unidentified gunmen burst into the village of Dabna in the district of Hong and killed 3 people, according to the spokesman of the local police, who added that houses were burned. No group has claimed responsibility for the attack on Monday, but Boko Haram jihadists regularly launch attacks in the region from their lair in the Sambisa forest in the neighboring Borno state. Also on Monday, suspects attacked localities in central Kogi state. The governor's spokesperson, Muhammad Onoghugu, claimed that a local politician was killed and others were affected by the awful and unfortunate attack. Gunmen entered a church in the village of Akinawe Swarov in east-central Benue state on Sunday, killing one worshiper and kidnapping three others. Two other people were seriously injured and hospitalized. In central western Niger state on Saturday, armed men attacked several villages in Mashigu and Munya districts. So just a rash of violence going through the country. So we'll see how that goes. But yeah. Oof. Oh. Lampedusa. It sounds kind of funny. All right. So where else is death happening? Well, it's happening all over the world. Sorry to tell you that, but it's true. So let's talk about kids dying. Sometimes that's pretty sad. This is even sadder. A California woman is facing homicide charges after her baby died during an at-home delivery. Kelsey Carpenter, age 33, was charged with murder and child endangerment after her newborn, Kiera, named Kiera, died during a home birth in 2020. Ms. Carpenter, who was by herself when her water broke 2 weeks before her scheduled due date, reportedly cut the umbilical cord and tried to breastfeed Kiera before passing out. When she woke up, she realized Kiera was not breathing and called 911. San Diego prosecutors are now building a case against the mother of three, who lost custody of her two other children due to a past drug use. After gaining custody of her youngest child and becoming pregnant with Kiera, Ms. Carpenter sought treatment at a facility where she was prescribed buprenorphine. Sorry, I'm saying it looks like it should make sense, but when I try and say it, it doesn't. Buprenorphine. For withdrawal symptoms. An autopsy determined that Kiera's death was an accident associated with methamphetamine and buprenorphine exposure and unattended delivery. Experts hired by Ms. Carpenter's defense argue that Kiera died as a result of blood loss before or after birth. Her lawyers are also citing a state bill that exempts people from being charged for the decisions they took during pregnancy if the outcome is an abortion, miscarriage, or stillbirth. Following the tragedy, Ms. Carpenter was questioned after she was briefly treated at a hospital. She was charged with murder and arrested in March 2021 before being released on bail. She was taken into custody again in January after failing to appear in court. I'm still stunned and horrified that a person could have the biggest tragedy of their life and lose a child who was loved and was so wanted, and then be charged with such a horrible crime, she told The Guardian over text messages from jail. I cherished the idea of this baby and was totally committed to becoming the best mother I knew how to be. Let's see if we've got anything from the state. Prosecutors have argued that Ms. Carpenter's alleged delay to phone first responders and her decision to cut the umbilical cord led to Kiera's death, despite no medical evidence. The district attorney's office told The Guardian in a statement, Carpenter is not being prosecuted for a decision to have a home birth or substance abuse. This is not a case involving abortion, stillbirth, or any other pregnancy outcome. This is a case about a newborn baby who died as a direct result of a parent's acts and omissions after the baby's live birth. So, I'll let you know what happens, but the war against women is alive and well in the United States, and it's very scary and frustrating and outrageous. And it just, anyway, it's just a horrible tragedy. Let's see. Let's see what X1's got. Buka Ramis. Oh, this is French. I'm not going to go there. One side fun and one side of the molecule act as an antagonist. In case of OD, you need a lot of naloxone. Thanks, X1. And, yeah, so anyway, sorry, Calm. I'm kind of bumping and jumping because I want to get through the news. I want to get to our nuclear story, but I got to get through the death and destruction. You guys got to know all about all the death that's happening in the world. One dead and dozens injured as a passenger train crashes into a crane and derails in the Netherlands. Don't say that too fast. 10 times fast. One person died and at least 30 people were injured after a passenger train collided with a crane in southern Netherlands early Tuesday. No word yet on if it's the bird or the construction equipment. Let's find out. Rescue teams were sent to the town of Voorschoten between Hague and Amsterdam, where the accident took place. A fire department spokesman told Dutch radio that 19 people were taken to the hospital. Others were being treated on the spot. The local news agency said that a fire broke out in the rear carriage of the passenger train after the collision. There were at least 50 people on board. Earlier, it was reported that a freight train had collided with the train, resulting in derailment and injury. Several dozen injured people are being treated at the spot and taken to hospital if necessary. The accident occurred around 3:35 a.m. on Tuesday. So they don't actually specify how this collision happened, but it did collide with a crane. It looks, sounds like a construction crane from what it sounds like there. Well, don't worry. We got to cover all the modes of transportation. Cruise ship passenger dies after falling from balcony onto another person. That's right. They didn't drown or get killed and with a gun and shot pushed off the boat. A woman has died on board a Virgin Voyages cruise ship after falling from her balcony and hitting another passenger. The incident happened around 9:35 p.m. on Sunday, shortly after the Valiant Lady, which is the name of the boat, not the person, departed from Miami on its way to Honduras. Following the tragedy, the ship returned to port. It has since departed again to resume the cruise with some changes to the planned itinerary. It will dock in Cozumel, Mexico, before continuing on to the island of Bimini in the Bahamas. Virgin Voyages said in a statement, this passenger went over their balcony onto a lower deck and, despite receiving immediate medical attention, has passed away. We are deeply saddened by this loss of life. The Independent understands the person who was struck by the falling passenger was not seriously injured. The circumstances surrounding the fall are under investigation. Falling from a balcony is rare, especially into the ocean. 1 to 2 people may go overboard each month out of around 2.5 million passengers. There are 212 man overboard incidents on cruise ships between 2009 and 2019. So, there you go. So yeah, this was kind of a surprise. Hey, Publius. Hey, Claudium. Howdy, howdy. Yeah. So yeah, that's kind of wild. I guess it's good that they fell off the balcony and just grazed another passenger, but I totally expected the person who died to be the one that got fallen on. So, I guess that's the silver lining. I wonder if they were drunk or something. yeah, I'm with you, Publius. I would love to cross the Atlantic on a ship. I feel like that's the right amount of time for a good vacation. You know, a couple months at sea. So if I could get a nice ship to go across the ocean and then spend some, you know, a year working over there and then take a ship back. Oh, I'd love it. LCD would probably be the idiot that fell off. Meanwhile, Claudium is not surprised if they were drunk. And I guess it did depart from Miami, which is a beautiful but party-heavy city. All right. So, what else is going on in the world? Well, let's talk about science and technology, because it's about that time. So first, let's talk about the moon. We've got a couple of moon news items for you. And Publius, being in comm, will really help out, because he is a moon aficionado. I guess maybe that's the wrong word. But NASA on Monday named the 4 astronauts who will fly around the moon late next year, including the first woman and first African-American assigned to a lunar mission. The first moon crew in 50 years, 3 Americans and 1 Canadian, was introduced during a ceremony in Houston. Home to the nation's astronauts as well as mission control. This is a humanities crew, said NASA Administrator Bill Nelson. The 4 astronauts will be the first to fly NASA's Orion capsule, launching atop a space space launch system rocket from Kennedy Space Center no earlier than late 2024. They will not land or even go into lunar orbit, but rather fly around the moon and head straight back to Earth, a prelude to a lunar landing by two others a year later. So these folks, these fine astronauts, will be flying the mission. They're basically taking the test drive. We sent the capsule around the moon. Now we're going to try it with people in aboard. And then the next time we do it, we'll have people and they'll go hang out. But, see you in a little bit, X1. Quentin says, I think this is the Artemis 3 mission. It didn't mention it, so I'll be curious to see. Moon! Claudio points out, that's no moon. Star Wars. Well, anyway, once they get to the moon, what are they going to do? How are they going to get around? Well, Astrolab says Flex is the largest and most capable rover to ever travel to the moon. That's right. SpaceX will launch an SUV-sized rover to the moon after agreeing a first commercial contract for its next-generation Starship rocket. U.S.-based startup Astrolab said its Flex moon rover would launch as early as 2026, despite SpaceX not yet completing an orbital test of Starship. Astrolab describes Flex as the largest and most capable rover to ever travel to the moon, with plans to also develop it for future Mars missions. Once completed, it'll be able to carry two astronauts and cargo across the lunar surface at up to 24 kilometers per hour, as well as perform robotic arm operations. We've created a logistics system that can accommodate a wide variety of cargo. We expect this approach will help establish a permanent lunar outpost on the moon at a lower cost and less time than previously envisioned. Astrolab began testing a terrestrial prototype of the Flex rover, transporting crew and cargo in lunar simulations in the California desert. Tests for Starships are also underway, with the first orbital launch expected to take place later this month, pending approval from aviation regulators. Starship is designed to transport large amounts of cargo, including rovers, to the moon and Mars for research and exploration. That's kind of what we got there. So, Artemis 2, Quentin points out. Thank you for looking that up. Quentin is happy and excited this is happening. Publi has thorough plans for lunar missions that can use Falcon Heavy and don't need to wait for Starship. So this is very cool. I'm excited about this because I think, it's kind of because of the commercialization, it's like, oh, we can have NASA can worry about getting people to the moon, and then they can actually just pay for-profit companies to be like, hey, build and ship this ready-to-be-built house kit to the moon, and then we'll send our guys up there to build it. It's kind of neat. I think it's kind of cool. So that's some moon news. Let's talk about nuclear power, because that is something else that's going on. U.S. nuclear bomb at Dutch base was a dummy weapon, Pentagon says. You may have seen an alarming story, which I did yesterday, about a damaged nuclear weapon found in Belgium. The Pentagon has said that a picture that featured in a report by the Federation of American Scientists on Monday about apparent damage, a damage to a U.S. nuclear bomb at a Dutch airbase was a dummy weapon used for training emergency response teams. FAS published a photograph of a device being inspected for damage by U.S. soldiers, including two from an explosive ordnance disposal unit. The rear of the device appears to have been twisted by an impact, and one of the tail fins is missing. There is pink sticky tape covering an apparent hole. The picture was included in a 2022 presentation for student job applicants by the Los Alamos National Laboratory. So that's where the picture came from. That's what happened with that. Not super nuclear-y, but I wanted to be sure you heard about it. So we got four stories, but only about 5 minutes. So I want to go ahead and mention that the Dubious Goals Committee is a show that airs every goddamn day at 19:30 UTC. So if you're listening now, stick around. In 5 minutes, you'll have Dubious Goals. Yesterday, Tobe mentioned we would probably go to Herrenhaven today, which is a beautiful, wonderful little preserve there near in his city. We might get to see some dudes, or at least hang out and talk to some dudes. So stick around for that. You always press =incom for the full schedule, but every goddamn day is the Dubious Goals Committee. Oak 3, welcome. Publis wants to point out, you want to see a lot of those dummy weapons? The National Nuclear Testing Museum in Las Vegas uses them for doorstops. Oh, wow. I do want to mention at 20 hours is Leon G. Internet Noises. Might be a rerun, but those were all fun shows. Organized Chaos, Praise in the Darkness is tonight. Always fun. And Lispy Gopher Show with Screwtape happens at midnight.
UTC. Also, I'd point out Nick's Cave at 1300 if you're in the UTC, if you're awake, in if you're an early or negative, if you're an early or a positive UTC offset, you might be able to check that out, along with Guided Meditation with DJ Don Maru. So check all that out. It's a lot of fun. All right, so here we go. So first, the news from today. They've been sending probes into Fukushima to see what's going on and keep track of what's happening. New images are showing shows exposed steel bars in the main supporting structure and parts of its thick external concrete wall missing, triggering concerns about its earthquake resistance in case of another major disaster. The plant's operator has been sending robotic probes into unit since last year. The new findings released Tuesday were from the latest probe. An underwater remotely operated vehicle was sent inside the unit, and it came back with these images. So the area is inside the pedestal is where traces of melted fuel can most likely be found. So a bit scary there. We don't have time to ruminate on it, but something that worried me. And VOTL 3, V-O-G-T-L-E, VOTL Unit 3 is connected to the grid. VOTL Unit 3 began supplying its first electricity to the grid on April 1st, Georgia Power announced. The AP1000 reactor, the first new reactor to start up in the USA since 2016, is scheduled to enter commercial operation by mid-year. Operators will now take the unit through a gradual power increase until it reaches full output. Tests to ensure all systems are operating together and to validate operational procedures will be carried out throughout the startup process before the unit is declared to be in commercial operation. So, very cool. Fukushima has some damage. VOTL 3 is in Georgia and is pretty darn cool. Oh no, we've only got 2 minutes. I better hurry and tell you the other two pieces of news. That's that a third Egyptian reactor received construction permit, so we're going to get a lot of more nuclear power on the African continent. And a partnership unveils plan for helium test facility. The X-Energy Reactor Company and Kinetrix have announced a partnership to design, construct, and operate a commercial-scale facility to test and verify the performance of critical structures, systems, and components of the XE-100 Advanced Small Modular Reactor in helium-based high-temperature and high-pressure environments. So this is very cool, just because anyway, we're out of time. I don't have time to tell you all the details, but that is pretty cool. You can always check out Nuclear News, or Bug Publius about it. I'm sure he has all the info, too. All right, enjoy the Dubious Goals Committee, and I'm glad we got to hang out today. I'll be back tomorrow. Bye-bye. Have a good day, Claudio, and enjoy your drive home. It's time.
Anon Radio is your non-commercial, non-profit, member-supported underground radio station.
Powered by the SDF Public Access UNIX System.